Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am still hungover and still have too much turkey in my system, so forgive me tonight. But welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most. Damn, I am good. The king of king himself. I am the hot rod. And on the phone lines I have...
Sean Black in the building once again.
See, I did not say anything negative about you yet.
Yeah, yet. I'm expecting it at some point during the show.
Oh, of course. But, and on the other line, from now on, as last night, she is called Lady T. So, somebody, do not get me in trouble, okay? But now on, she's the first lady, well, the second lady of the Absolute Truth Show. But she's the first lady right now. She is known as Lady T, everyone. So, get that
Lady
right, okay?
T.
Lady
you,
T.
You, I you guess know, you have your own clothing line now, or like a perfume line of some
no,
sort? Because
no,
it almost
yet.
Sounds like that.
No, but when I heard Lady T, I don't know why. I'm thinking of Queen Latifah back in them days, you know, with her sister power, you know, her hand up in the air. You know, ladies first.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that right away.
That, yeah.
I could see Tisha with her movement ready to kick ass, especially men ass right now. So watch out, world. Lady T is in the building.
So I have to remember the name, so... question, how is everybody's Thanksgiving?
Sean, that was a Rodney moment that you just did. You got to remember the name.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Whoa.
He's getting old.
Well, you know what I meant.
Well, I don't care about Thanksgiving, but Tisha, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was good.
Of course, you know why it was
a little
good?
Bit too much macaroni, but it was good.
Yeah, that's a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, black people love macaroni and cheese. I don't know why.
Exactly.
You know, white
oh,
people
I
do
sure
either,
enough
but...
made enough of it, that's for sure.
Yes, we could smell it from all the way over here in Brooklyn from your house.
Yeah.
We could smell the mac and cheese.
Oh, of
but
course.
Besides that, the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Besides mac and cheese, are you guys ready to piss some people off on a few topics? Ooh.
Why not?
Why not?
Well, I'm like, this, we'll talk about this every year, Sean Black and I. Yes, it sounds like a stupid topic, but once again, I still want to address this because people, society are so brainwashed, it's not even funny. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, after Thanksgiving, after everybody get eat, stuff their faces, or have a few drinks, they go Black Friday shopping. And once again, like I showed Tisha, Lady T, and Sean Black, videos of people fighting in the malls and stores over items. Now, my question to you guys, why is it every Black Friday shopping, people are killing one another to get the same TV that they probably already have in their household already?
I'll start this one off. I think everybody, when you hear the word, this is something that I remember hearing in college, is that when you hear the word sale, it entices the brain with those receptors that are in the brain that tells it it's as a reward. So you go ahead and you say, oh, this is a sale. Oh, it's on sale. I might as well buy it. Now, couple that with the fact that you don't get these kinds of deals year-round, depending on where you go. Black Friday is usually the day where everybody chops off their mother's heads to get to a television to save $50. We're also in a society where everybody wants to save as much money as possible and get the biggest, best deal on whatever it is that they can. And that's what they do. So I think that's what the problem is.
Yeah, but as you say that, people don't realize overall that the same TV or item that's on sale will probably will most likely be on sale for the whole month.
Well, of course.
Or you could go to other stores or other ways. Like, for example, I bought something on Black Friday while I ordered online and went to the store. In less than 5 minutes, I was in and out compared to everybody else, the bunch of idiots, went online to pay for their things.
Yeah. You got to remember, brick and mortar stores, those stores that you just walk in and pay for something, you usually will go in, they'll entice you with whatever they're selling for whatever the discount is, and you're either going to buy it or you're going to walk. But what has happened over the last 10, 15 years is something which is called showcasing, which is where you go to the brick-and-mortar store, you see what you're looking for, or you try out what you're looking for, you see what it is, and then, okay, I see what it is, it's fine, and you go home and you buy that same item online. And the problem with that is that the economy is helped out as far as the commerce from the shopping. But the local stores, as we have Small Business Saturday, usually the Saturday after Black Friday, those mom-and-pop stores that you know of that you grew up going shopping with, they usually suffer because they're not getting the same business. And everybody's doing everything online through their cell phones and through their tablets and computers. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they said this is one of the first years where people are going to spend more online than they would in a brick-and-mortar store.
Yes. Tonight, as we know, Cyber Monday, will be a record-breaking hit of over 100 million people ordering online. And yes,
$7 billion worth of commerce. $7.7 billion worth of commerce. That's insane.
And yes, Tisha and I are one of them. We did order stuff online earlier today because I know.
Yeah, actually,
Tisha.
In all honesty. But good deals, though.
Yeah, but let's be honest. We order things. We're in the stage of right now of convenience. Like I told Sean Black, I'm a big Amazon fan.
You're part of the problem.
I'm part of the problem because Amazon have a great deal, two-day shipping. You know what you want. They have it, and boom. Compared to mom-and-pop stores, I'm like, yes. You know, they don't have that much deals because they can't afford the deals compared to a major company like Amazon.
Yeah,
and now
they can't compete.
They can't compete, which I know is sad, but, you know, let's be real with ourselves. We're looking for convenience. Like Amazon will build a new headquarters up in Long Island City in Queens, and that's causing controversy right now in New York.
Oh, yes.
But it's like, do you want jobs or you don't want jobs?
Guys, didn't the same thing happen when, like, they were doing the same thing with the Barclays Center and so forth? And
yes.
All of that is all forgotten, so it'll be the same new jobs created and so forth.
Oh, I don't think it's been forgotten. I think the people that used to live there have not forgotten about that.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
the people that still live there haven't forgotten about it, where their rent went up and their property tax went up and everything else went up.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's like, once again, it's gentrification. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. What are you going to do about it?
See, the problem with the Amazon thing, which we said is in Long Island City, which is the fulfillment center that they're going to build, is literally not that far from the Queensbridge projects, which is going to probably be literally a few blocks from this. Maybe in that area, probably right behind where the buildings are. The issue with that is that it's going to create jobs, it's going to bring jobs in. But the problem is, as you stated, the gentrification part is going to happen. And also, Jeff Bezos, who is the head CEO and owner of Amazon, which is, I think, he's the richest CEO in the world right now, got $3 billion in tax cuts to be able to bring this business here. And I think that's part of the problem, was that if they were going to bring another headquarters into this country, they could have put that headquarters not in New York or in an area like that. They could have put it in the Midwest, where they need the jobs a little bit more so than they do here.
Well, they got jobs over there, Sean, but it's called Walmart. But besides that, let me go to the next topic. Tisha, no, Walmart is a major retailer that took over most of those Rednex area, and it's huge. It's the number one business down there, believe it or not.
Yeah, and they're actually great sales.
Yeah, so they're okay. But Tisha, on to you before I go to K-Dog. There was some controversy over the Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I'm speaking as a parent to another parent. There was at all the performances at the Thanksgiving Day Parade, there was a Broadway performance, and of course, people have to talk nonsense about a performance from the play called Prom, where for the first time they broadcast two ladies kissing, a lesbian kissing, which we all know is not a big deal, but of course, a lot of parents are saying it's too soon, they should have been warned, how can you explain something like this to the kids? When you hear things like that, and let's say your daughter was watching something like that, what would be your first reaction, and how will you think you'd be able to handle this and talk about this towards your daughter?
Well, it's interesting because a 7-year-old in my school was talking about that. I don't know. It was just shocking. It is what it is, but it's too soon for that age group. And I don't even think they'll get the full understanding of it. So it's way too soon.
Which I agree with you.
You do 100%. Know that someday you will have to talk about it, though.
To go a little bit personal about my life, you guys know that I have a family member that passed away. And, you know, my son, he asked me about him. And, you know, I don't like to hide anything, but I have not told the news to my son because he won't understand it. He will have questions on top of questions. And Tisha, you know, these questions get harder and harder. How can you explain to them to make them understand it? You're not hiding it from them. You're just trying to find a way to make them understand it. And
yes,
I think
but
that's
you would
the
have
thing.
To. Yeah, you would have to speak to them when they do come to you with the questions before someone else speaks to them about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So, but I'm like, once again, why people are being outraged by it? I don't know. If you see something and you don't like your kids to know about it, as a parent, should it be your job to explain it to them about the situation?
Mm-hmm.
Not curse out the network, but some people just have nothing else better to do but to outlash on social media. Now, third topic. I did not forget you, Kato, but I want to give this to Sean first because Sean may love this one. GM is closing 5 plants, and they will cut down 15,000 jobs. Do you think, Sean Black, this has something to do with the Trump tax breaks?
I'm pretty sure a lot of it is. And we're looking at, first of all, I find it ironic that the president actually did not like this idea of GM taking the jobs away and downsizing. Because basically what's going on is same thing that happened with Ford. Ford has gone with their own business model, and they're going to cease making cars, and they're going to stick with SUVs and vans, those kinds of vehicles. They're not going to be making their iconic Mustangs and those cars because a lot of those cars don't sell anymore. And as we are seeing, the way that people have changed with their family lives. More people are on the roads with SUVs and with hybrid cars that are like SUVs, like Priuses, et cetera, and they're not driving those luxury smaller cars. So now GM is supposedly, with this deal, is going to be saving $6 billion. And the president actually said, I don't like this because they're going to be downsizing and they're going to be taking jobs away from America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in that ironic statement, if you remember all those years ago how people dumped on President Obama for the bailout of the auto industry,
mm-hmm.
in this same ideal, Trump basically kind of praised Obama for basically saying, we as a country save the auto industry, and then they're going to do this. So it's like a backhanded compliment at the same time using his ire against it. I don't know if the economy can actually sustain this kind of move, but I think this is what's happening. You got other companies like Hyundai and Kia, which are companies that are outside of the United States, but they're making the sedans and they're making those cars and they're selling, but they're not buying them from other companies. So I think that's what the difference is, and GM is losing a lot of money. Ford was losing a lot of money. So they're going to move into their own new lane, and they're going to let the other companies pick up where they left off.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy, all the things that are going on right now. Now, talk about craziness. To you, K-Dog, since you love Trump so much, and he's continuing his hate crime over the world, everybody's talking about the things that happened at the border, or the fights, and the tear gas that was spread upon women and children and men. Are you okay of police or police activity of using tear gas towards the Mexicans at the border at Caravan, I believe the name of the place?
Yeah. Well, I could say this. It is totally wrong, and it's an abuse of power, because these are people that are escaping a civil war that's going on at home. Now, is there a better way to stop them at the border? Sure, there's a better way. But why use tear gas on women and children who are unarmed, who don't pose as a threat coming over here? You know, this right here is a perfect example of what this administration is all about. Being biased and abusing their power to keep things under control. And from jump, he's been trying to say, oh, we don't want these people coming here. He's comparing them to terrorists. He even said that even on Thanksgiving Day, when the president is supposed to be calling the troops to wish them well and to celebrate the holiday with them, he used that opportunity to address this in a very negative way, to say, well, you know, we got to put a stop to these people trying to come here. They're, you know, comparing them to terrorists. They're this, they're that, they pose as a threat. But if they're not a threat, if they didn't use any weapons towards you, so why using tear gas? Do you even realize that what they could do to children, to women and children? Makes no sense.
But from my understanding, there was rocks thrown by quote-unquote men towards the soldiers, the troops down there, and that probably escalates the tear gas being used towards people at that time. I'm like, I don't know much about it.
Right.
I'm just trying to see the bigger picture of this. If rocks being thrown at you, you go take action. Let's be honest.
There has to be action. There has to be taken.
But at least tear gas is nothing compared to real bullets.
True. But at the same time, just think about the women and children. But think about this. Imagine this. What if there were bullets that were being fired upon the crowd? But yet, you know what? At the same time, women and children would still get hurt.
Well, so, Kato, my question is, why are the people down there trying to go get to the border, trying to come to this country, knowing that, number one, I'm not speaking for everybody, we don't want you here. At the same time, you know there will be troops there to prevent you of entering.
You know what it is? They're trying, because here's what that caravan is doing. They're coming all the way from El Salvador, from some unrest that has been going on over there. And they're just trying their best way to escape it. You understand? They're like, listen, we got to get out of here. We can't stay here. It's dangerous for us to be here. So the safest place for us would be to America. We know it's hard, but we gotta push our way to get here, to seek asylum. You understand? That's what it is. That's what it's all about. A lot of people, a lot of countries, when there's a civil war going on, where's the safest place they're going to come? They're going to come here. They're going to try to escape.
I'm thinking about Kato's statement. I know that what some people are thinking. It's probably safe to come to this country, but at the same time, we have our own problems.
We have our own issues, exactly. Go ahead, Sean.
You leaving from hell to go to hell?
The most disingenuous and disgusting argument about this whole entire migrant caravan topic that we keep hearing about is that this administration, especially headed by President Trump, and he's using this whole entire thing mostly to politicize it and weaponize it for his own cause. Let's think about the midterm elections, which Trump and his party were hammered as far as the House goes. They were able to keep the Senate, but the House, they've lost seats, and they're still continuing as some of the votes are being tabulated that they lost a lot of seats. So that's going there, and we've heard the foul mood that he's been in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Now, during the midterm election, all Trump could talk about, the migrant caravan, they're coming to take all of our jobs, they're coming to the United States, they're all criminals, they're all murderers, et cetera, et cetera.
Rapists, gangbangers, drug dealers, he was using all of that.
He talked about this ad nauseum for almost 3 weeks. Midterm elections are over with. He barely spoke about it. Didn't take anything at all. Now, the crazy thing about it is now all of a sudden it's becoming an issue again. And as we've stated before, we're not talking about gangbangers. We're not talking about drug dealers. We're not talking about that sort. We're talking about families who have lost homes, who have lost family members, who are trying to escape very poor conditions of whatever strife has happened. Killings, murderings, etc.
Yeah.
Bad economy to come to the United States through legal entry in a lot of instances.
Yes, they are.
To seek asylum from where they're coming from.
I'm sorry, you say they're coming here legal or illegal?
They're trying to get here legally.
They're
through
trying to
legal
get
ports
they're
of
trying
entry.
To get, and they're trying to get asylum.
Exactly.
And you know what? With this administration have been trying to stop them from getting asylum, but federal judges are going against this administration and saying, listen, they deserve the asylum.
And
so things go ahead.
Yeah.
And as what we've seen this administration do is hijack a narrative to repurpose it for their own cause and then use that as a rallying point toward getting other Republicans within their party to scare them into going their own way. If we've heard, if you listen to the president's last tweet earlier this morning, he actually threatened to close the border permanently if he can, if he doesn't get the funding that he needs for this wall that he has already stated that Mexico was going to pay for, but now needs Congress and congressional money for the taxpayers to pay for. Now, remember, this was a completely different argument 2 years ago, putting in this wall that now the United States people are supposed to pay for. That's
exactly
what all of this whole narrative has been and has been changed and has been talked about all this time. And that's the one thing that you got to understand. A lot of this stuff has happened under the guise of the Black Friday shopping, under all of the stuff that's happened. Notice he went completely quiet. And now all of a sudden he's brought back the migrant caravan talk again. And we know what the end game is for this entire deal.
I'm just thinking, isn't this always Trump's MO? Doesn't he always do this?
Of course.
Yeah, he does.
But
why aren't we used to this by now, though?
There's the problem. You're not supposed to be used to this. And the people that actually have one, compassion for the plight of the people that are trying to seek asylum, and two, people that actually have common sense and kind of know what this president is trying to do will make sure that this is not quote-unquote normal. And we, as a hot rod, we've talked about this before, how over the years, every time something happens with Trump, and this is one of the reasons why we try not to talk about Trump that often, is because it's normalized. You know, there was an expression that we would talk about with Manny Ramirez, who's a former baseball player, where he would do something so off the wall, the first thing that anybody would say is, that's Manny being Manny. This is the same kind of thought process. Oh, this is Trump being Trump. And the reason why that is because so many things happened with Manny Ramirez, it just became part of his MO. So we expected that from, oh, he did something wild, that's Manny being Manny. This is the same thought process what we're hearing with Trump. Yet Trump, every time he does something, it completely tops the last thing he did. And it gets more egregious and more egregious and more egregious. And this
way
is something
more
that's not supposed to be normalized. So that's the reason why it's not so.
Well, he's obviously making it normalized because he keeps getting away with it. So it's normal for him.
It's normal for him. But I just like the media reports of them talking about the. I understand what you guys are saying, but what media is doing was driving me crazy of that picture of the mother with the two kids barefoot running away from the tear gas, and then using that towards Donald Trump. Like, well, what about the tear gas against women and children? So once again, guys, let's be honest with each other. Yes, women and children got tear gas. By the same time, we don't know what really happened. And you know, in these type of situations, if one person get attacked by a rock or a pencil or even a paperclip, we all know all hell breaks loose. Everybody is on a concert of fear. Either I go, K-Dog, or you go. Somebody has to go. And once again, it was guarantee you, it was a bunch of black people down here protesting or trying to do the same thing. Tear gas will not be used.
Bullets would be fine. This is what I saw on the news when the announcement was made about these migrants when it was first reported. Trump actually said that he ordered his troops to stay at the border, that if these people begin to protest or throw rocks. Am I not right? Right, Sean Black? Didn't he say that? Yes, exactly what he said. He would authorize
them to use lethal force if necessary. So just keep in mind,
well,
who brought up the point.
Well, okay, but so to a certain degree, why not? If you want to make a statement, why not use force? Like even last night on Brother B's show, when we talk about the blacks and whites, the blacks are so used of, how we are so used of hearing the news of black man getting killed by cops, black man getting killed by cops, black man getting killed by cops. And yeah, that one guy up in Maryland that we discussed last night went up there and shot two cops. And what happened? Action took place right away.
Right.
Why not something like that towards the border? If one person gets shot, guarantee you action will take place right away and somebody will, or they will find other ways to work the system out. Sean?
Not going to happen. And the reason why is because the narrative, as I just stated earlier, the narrative of this discussion has been hijacked again and reappropriated for the use of this administration. And if you fully believe that because Donald Trump stated that they were throwing rocks from their side, when most of these people that are in this migrant caravan, probably close to 90% of them, are all walking with children. Some people have left relatives behind. One woman was actually impaled climbing the wall. It just was on the news just yesterday. There was a woman who was literally impaled trying to climb the wall, and she lost her balance and fell and was impaled on one of the barbs of the wall. If you think that these people who are trying to seek asylum and get away from what they're getting away from are literally going to go out and try and stop the almighty United States government officials and agents who are lining that entire border that have weaponry and shields, are going to threaten them with rocks, that makes no sense. Because
exactly,
they can't defend themselves against all that stuff. So anybody to say that, well, if they're going to have rocks, then why shouldn't it? You're going to... That's trying to rationalize and justify lethal force on people that have children.
Exactly.
There has to be a better way, and that has to be reform, which we all agree there has to be some kind of reform, but there also has to be a way that leads to citizenship and not just saying, you know what, everybody here, back to Mexico. Let's ship them all back to El Salvador. Let's send them all back to wherever that they came from, and not realizing the fact that the whole premise of this country was born on the back of immigrants.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Most of these people don't want them here, especially the rednecks. So why call more consequences if we let them here?
And that's the sad thing. Whatever happened, here's my other question. What happened to the give me a tight and give me a pull? Whatever happened to are you welcome here? But then all of a sudden, wow, that welcome mat has been ripped off from under people's feet.
Yeah. So, Sean, we don't want them here.
That's the sad part
about
it.
That's the problem. We don't want them here. And that's where it all starts.
That's what he based his campaign on. That was the one thing he did say, was that he was going to find a way to stop these Mexicans from coming here. He doesn't want them coming here at all. And that's sad,
well,
man. I'm like, wow.
I'll tell you why the idea that you just said, Hot Rod, is saying we don't want them here is BS. Because people like Trump, people like Jeff Bezos, people that have those rich businesses, et cetera, who is the cheap labor that's working for these businesses? So
I can add more. Okay, try to go into the suburbs of Long Island. Who do you see sitting down waiting for work, waiting for the van to come and pick them up? The same people you don't want here, they're the same ones who's willing to fix things in your backyard. They're the same ones who's willing to do construction work. And mind you, they're working off the books. They come here to work. And that's the sad part about it. You're telling them they can't come here? They just come in here to live.
The same jobs.
They're not trying to live off anybody.
The same jobs that are out there that we usually tell the teenagers that are looking for their first jobs when they get to about 15, 16, and they can legally start working with a little permit, you know, workers through their high school or whatever.
Yeah.
Those jobs, the millennials that were coming up, don't look at those jobs as something that they want to do. It's menial work. It's not enough
exactly.
for me to do. It's not something that's going to pay. It's not a nice enough job. It's not going to pay me enough to get me my new cell phone. Those jobs that are actually out there, because as been proven, the economy has gone up, the jobs are there, but those jobs are not being picked up by people from the United States, or at least
exactly.
of American standing here. So what
Nobody.
We're seeing are a lot of undocumented immigrants that are looking for work, or other minorities that are looking for work get those jobs.
Okay, hold on, guys. We have a new caller.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much for taking my call. This is Mike from Singapore.
My friends. Hey,
yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Yeah, I know. I wish I would come a little bit sooner, but that's fine. My friends, you know, this guy right now, he is using illegal aliens for his companies in the United States to clean up, etc. Up to today, how he can come back and backstab the same people that vote for him?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Oh, you're right. Exactly.
Well,
this is exactly our point.
Because, Mike, it's all about mind games. He's playing mind games with the people, and people are looking for it. Because society always likes to be controlled. They claim they don't want to be controlled, but they are all controlled. Same way like as we discussed earlier about the TVs. Almost everybody have a TV, but once, like Sean said, you see something on sale, you have to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Trump is doing. If I'm going to brainwash you into believing this, why not?
Exactly. And also, when is Black Fridays? And people have to kill each other for the what? For the UHD TV that is outdated. Those are outdated televisions, not the brand new QQ. Right now we have a 3QQ.
High five.
Yes.
High five to you. High five to you, my
Thank
brother. High
you.
Five
Thank
to you.
Thank you. God bless
high five.
You.
Yes. Thank
yes.
you, Mike,
and,
so
and
much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you for saying
people,
that.
They don't even know what the hell they're going to kill each other for and go 4 or 5 days before, go in the line. Oh, this is my line. I stay here 24 hours, I mean 96 hours before the doors open, blah, blah. What the hell are they doing? This is all crazy.
You're right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, the
this
crazy thing about that
about.
is this is something that started in the United States, but over the last 10 years, it started to filter into England. As I've noticed, I looked online, it's happening in the UK. Some of the Black Friday stuff, if I'm not mistaken, started to filter into, I believe, Australia. And some parts of Europe are starting to pick up some of those same tendencies that the United States are. So what we've seen here in the West is filtering out overseas.
But I want to ask Mike this question. Mike, how do you guys celebrate Christmas in Singapore then?
I mean, Singapore is an international city, you know. So we don't, I mean, we have Hindu festival a while back ago in Singapore, and also, many. Almost every day we have some New Year going on here. Because of international and cosmopolitan, and especially from black, I don't want to say, from Africa, a lot of people work here too. So they bring the culture, the New Year too, so, you know.
So you guys welcome other countries into your city?
Oh, of course, because we are everywhere they look in Singapore. Just about a couple of weeks ago, our prime minister went to summit almost 20 nations for free trades to how to make things easier for each other. So not only free trade, also for traveling, make it easier for each other and et cetera. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, Mike from Singapore, thank you so much for your call tonight. Please continue to listen to us and call in next week again when we talk about
Trump,
all right? All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, thank you, Mike.
I have a message for Mike. I mean, I'm sorry, not for Mike, from Phil. He wanted to mention that the retail industry have taken away the meaning of all the holidays. So in other words, because of the retails and the Black Friday sales and everything, the point of Christmas and all these other holidays seem meaningless now. Like,
certainly have, because even at one point, when you were in retail, Thanksgiving was a full day off. You didn't have to come in at midnight and all of this other stuff and at 5 p.m. and things like that. So it was a full day off. Stores were closed.
Before I go to you, Shaw. Instead of the T-shirt, I agree with you, because when I see people shopping on Thursday, like, isn't that the day you want to be with your family and friends and eat and drink and talk nonsense for a little bit?
It's sad because, you know what, Rodney, I'm glad Hot Rod T-shirt and all of and everybody else, I heard this and I had to check myself, like, are you serious? This one woman who went to Macy's at 5 o'clock when they opened on Thanksgiving and said, well, I'm not cooking nothing because I'm interested in shopping. I'm like, really? You done lost your damn mind.
And if you think about this, the retail industry is, for a lot of reasons, why holidays exist. I want you to think about this. We're only like 2 years away from the reason just 2 years ago. We heard a lot of these retail companies say, well, we're not going to be open on Thanksgiving. We want everybody to stay home, enjoy their families, then come out for Black Friday and do such and such and such. And you know what happened? The profit margins came in for that year. And their portfolios were like, we didn't make anywhere near as much money as we made the year before that. All right, screw it. You're coming back in here. Not only are you going to be on here Thanksgiving, you're going to be in the minute the parade is over. And that's pretty much what's happened to a lot of these businesses. And if you think about it, Christmas, the first thing that they talk about, Macy's, Miracle on 34th Street, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of businesses are doing well because of Christmas, because of Thanksgiving, because of New Year's, because of Easter, and all of these other places that use these holidays to sell their merchandise. So the holidays that are there are basically for retail.
They're really not. By the time, you know, after Christmas, the end of the year forecast comes in, all those sales go right down before the end of the year. So they're going to come out flat. They're really not making much of anything. And everybody is fooled by this mind game that's played, especially with this Black Friday nonsense. So.
And before I go to the last topic, it's funny how, Sean, you mentioned all these holidays, and almost every month they find ways to skim people into it. Like, once again, New Year's Day. And then February, the day that I hate the most out of all the holidays, besides Christmas, Valentine's Day. After that, St. Patrick's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Let's Get Drunk Day, all this other holidays, like, enough is enough. Wait a minute.
Let's Get Drunk
like
Day,
this.
My goodness.
Yeah, I do like that's every day.
Well, that's
but
pretty much St.
That.
Patrick's Day, if I'm not mistaken, the
way
it's celebrated.
Day,
But let's go to the last topic about mistrial that happened, which I'm not going to lie, this shocked me when I heard mistrial. But Sean Black, can you recap a little bit about case?
Okay. This is a case that we had initially talked about a year or so ago of Katrina Vetrano, who was a jogger in, I believe it was in Staten Island.
No, Howard Beach.
Queens.
I should say, Howard Beach, who went out jogging and was found, was missing for a while, and then her body was found by her father. The person of interest was arrested. His name is Channel Lewis, African-American, 21 years old, was taken into custody and was seen on two videotapes as confessing to the murder. But he was basically saying during the trial that happened over this past couple of weeks that he was coerced into admitting to this. And he basically was at the interrogation room for hours and hours and said, I was saying this so I could get out of here and go home, which is something that we've actually heard a lot of in other cases. But in any event, the trial went through. And after only a day and a half of deliberations with the jury and 74 pages of testimonies that had DNA and the two videotape confessions that I just stated earlier, it was a hung jury. The trial, the jurors couldn't basically agree on what was guilt and what wasn't as far as how to prosecute this case, litigate the case, and get him in jail on any of these trial cases. And as we stated before, I've heard a lot of instances within that case of that he might have had some sort of mental illness. He didn't – maybe he wasn't fully himself. We don't know all of that going in, but that was a lot of the background. And the bottom line that a lot of people are wondering is how on earth did that happen with – we see an African-American on trial trying to defend himself – on a coerced trial, and it was a hung jury. And I believe they're going to go ahead and retry this at some point next year, I think. What do you guys think as far as this goes?
I'll give it to Tisha first because I know this caught Tisha's attention a lot.
Yes.
It caught my attention the moment I saw this child. Number one, I wanted to know where was his parents. Number two, if you're being questioned and questioned for hours upon hours upon hours, after a while, you're going to be so out of it. I don't even think he knew what he was saying. He didn't look alert when they arrested him. He didn't even look like he was on planet Earth or knew where he was. I'm sorry to say it like that.
That image threw you off, right? That image when you saw him coming out in handcuffs.
He looked like he was in a daze.
He didn't even look like he even knew handcuffs was on him.
Exactly. He didn't.
His attorneys actually stated that the confession was wrongly obtained and should not have been admissible in court. And
as many confessions
before,
are that they do,
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, many of them.
And I would not be surprised. I'm like, once again, we don't know what really happened, and we may never know. But my gut, I'm talking from my gut feeling. I would not be surprised if they planted the DNA. Because we know it happened many, many times before.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And the confession, like we discussed it, he got scared. He's young. He don't know what's going on. They probably beat him up a little bit because
Before.
Yeah, they want somebody to make everybody happy. But like I told people before, I believe, strongly believe, the father know who killed it, who the killer or killers are, who did it, or he did it himself. Because for him to walk out there and for him to find the body and no one else, and it was broad daylight, now it was nighttime.
Exactly.
This, ladies and gentlemen around the world, this happened in broad daylight, 4
yes,
or 5 o'clock. And you tell me, and there's a part where people jog at, no one's seen the body except for the father. How did a father know to look in a specific spot?
Exactly. He knows what happened.
But so why isn't anybody questioning the father on that, too? How did he know that? And one thing with this kid, where did they find this kid, though? Where did they pick him up from? No. Where? What? I don't get it. What linked them to finding him in Brooklyn, to saying, okay, he's the one that did it?
If I'm not mistaken, he was taken to the hospital, like the day of the murder, or day after, and the father had to pick him up, and something happened with the hospital reports. Which I'm sorry, I completely forgot about it.
I don't believe
the whole story,
that. But okay.
I'm not buying it.
Listen, once again, this is what the media said, and this is what they probably were told to the media.
Mm-hmm.
But with the father, I think Sean might know, he's like a former firefighter or something like that. He worked for the city.
So he has some kind of
right
influence
there
in the neighborhood, I think.
Exactly.
So he has cover up connections.
Yeah.
Sorry to say it
That's
like that, but okay.
No, let's be honest. We have a similar case, ladies and gentlemen, in the Canarsie area where a body was chopped up, buried, threw it away in the park, not too far from where I live, unfortunately. And they still can't find the killer except to that. And this poor girl lived up in Queens. So they threw her park not too far from her mother home. But it was not her mother that found the body. It was a stranger that found the body.
I think I know the case
park.
You're talking about. Yeah, I remember the case you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole story, so, but funny, no one identified, no one ended up getting arrested for that. But for this case, you see the big reward, $50,000 to the lead to arrest this person. The news media, the news coverage, and all of a sudden they caught somebody, this poor kid.
Yeah.
That's,
and the kid, and you know what? This is where it lies, okay. When they got a confession from this kid, was there a lawyer present?
No,
that's my question. And you know what else? Take a good look at this boy. I mean, this kid he looks like he's totally, totally, totally out of it. And that's why I'm looking at this case like from the very first day. I said, wait a minute, that boy could not have committed that murder. He couldn't have done it. They probably got him to confess, but once again, I'm looking at the father as a prime suspect in this. He has a hand in this. Come on, then.
Sean? I'm looking at this right now, and I think there's still too many holes. The confession where he admitted that he, quote, he admitted to beating and strangling the woman, but he didn't molest her because apparently the body was found and she was sexually assaulted. You have the attorneys that are saying that there was DNA evidence that links Channel Lewis to the murder. You also have, the confession that are on tape, and also the DNA evidence of the profile of Lewis and his DNA matching up to what was found, I believe, under the fingernails or under the fingertips of Miss Petrino. So you got all of that there, yet you have a hung jury after a day and a half of deliberations. That is really, really odd. So
They're not buying it.
So
that means that there's something fundamentally wrong with either how this was presented. There is nothing that is connecting what happened with the confession, the DNA evidence, and the alleged perpetrator to the victim. And there's something that is missing that is not connecting all of this together, and the jury knew that if they continued to deliberate, it was going to be the same result, a hung jury.
So for once, they did the right thing. If the shoe doesn't fit, don't acquit, right? Or the glove doesn't
exactly.
fit, something like that.
I'm guessing if that's what they're looking at, so be it.
But because like, as we discussed, that we're not lawyers. There's too many holes.
Way too many holes.
But it's like, oh my God, if this case was a white kid, a black woman, would it be handled differently?
Of course
it would. But and for the record, we're not defending this kid really. We just have some more questions than answers, and we're not defending him because he's black. We just want to know the truth of what really happened. Because you know, we feel bad for this girl that got killed, but like, there's so many cover-ups. It's like an episode of Law and Order in a way.
Yeah.
But down to the last topic, and this is for Tisha. It's time for me to. Time for her and I to fight.
Go ahead. I got my boxing gloves on. Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. Whoa.
Get it on.
Okay.
Let's
okay.
get ready to run.
Not towards you. Not towards you. And not towards all females. I don't use the term all females. But we talk about it time and time again how TV shows make a portray on black women being negative. As we always know that black woman has been stereotyped as being loud, obnoxious, ghetto, crazy, always angry. And then when you see shows, like especially reality shows like Love and Hip Hop and The Housewives, you see that type of behavior, and people portray on that overall. And when you see that in the streets, there's many times you see a black, Sean, K-Dog, and I, we see this all the time, we see one girl mm-hmm. angry, like, mm-hmm, typical angry black woman. Does that anger you when you hear stuff like that all the time, knowing that that's not the case for everybody? But at the same time, that stereotype goes on and on, especially about the black woman. And that's why last night I told you guys I want a white woman in my life. But I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Oh, boy.
No, you don't, because she will smack you on the low.
See, perfect example. Slap me. Why have to be violence first? You know?
Because she
why
will. I'm thinking about like the housewife shows. And the white women are very catty. I'm sorry. They're very
mm-hmm.
catty with one another. So it's not a black woman, white woman thing. It's just a woman thing. We will smack you guys.
Whoa.
I'm just
whoa.
Saying.
Wow.
Whoa.
That came out of nowhere.
Damn. Right, I'm gonna be serious. All right. I'm going to be serious.
No. I'm ready. Break it.
You know,
well,
you're letting it down the line.
So once again, if you want to smack us guys, if we, and God knows, I want to slap most of you females most of the times, but we do it, it's wrong, right? No, I will not do it. I have the feeling, I do have the urge, but if a guy slap a woman, of course he's wrong 100%, right? But if a woman slap a guy, because she's angry and upset, and the guy probably deserves it. That concept I never understood.
I'm going to pass it off to you guys.
Oh,
you
my
I want to smack one of y'all. Starting with Ryan.
Hey. See? Well, I know how to pull the trigger. See, I'm not going to kiss your ass like Sean and K-Dog. No, that's what they're good
boy.
For. Me?
Oh,
I tell
goodness.
The truth. Okay? You females, especially the black females, are always portrayed as angry, and you proved it over and over again. Well, go ahead,
you know,
Sean.
in all seriousness, real quick, Rodney, that's so not true. It's unfortunate that we get labeled like that because we're strong black women. We stand up for ourselves. We stand up for certain things. And it's really sad that that happens. But go ahead.
Right.
So because of that statement alone, when you're strong black, you're strong and you stand up for yourself, does that mean that it seems like the reason why some black men love white women because they're easygoing and more gunnable?
I don't know why they like them. You guys tell me. I'm not a guy, so I don't know.
Sean?
Repeat the question so I can see if I can answer the way you just repeat that question.
Basically, in some cases, as you see all the time, a black man
mm-hmm.
do not want a black woman because she's strong, standing for herself. And sometimes you go after a white woman because she's gullible, easygoing, I don't want to say not as strong compared to a black woman, but, you know, like, it's less drama overall.
I think it depends on what the male is looking for. If his ego is either hurt or weakened, or what he feels is the strength that he's looking for from the woman he's searching to be with. Because there are a lot of guys that are out there that don't want a woman that is either as strong mentally or emotionally formed as they are. And if they do, they sometimes don't know how to handle it. This isn't something that happens with all men, but there are men that get into relationships, and when you see these situations where you hear guys, as I've actually heard conversations on a train or on a bus, oh, this, I can't deal with these black women. They're driving me crazy. I need me a good white woman. And you hear this a lot, and I'm like, wait a minute. Where is that coming from? So something must have happened in a previous relationship with an African-American female that either has turned them sour or they feel is just too much for them to handle,
you know what it
to
is?
The point where they're searching elsewhere.
When a black woman shows, when a black woman shows strength, as soon as they're not going to sit there and bow down and allow the man to have his way, it's like, oh, damn, man, these black women, oh, they're always angry, or oh, they're always trying to test the dude and whatnot. They're always trying to test somebody, and they don't know how to act and stuff. And then after that, I go, I'd rather go out with a white woman because a white woman, you know, at least they're going to let me be a man. They're going to let me be me. I'm like, a woman is a woman. If a woman, when a woman challenges,
it does happen, K-Dog. I do believe in some cases it does happen.
Some men do that, and I've heard that in the barbershops a lot. Like, oh, my goodness, oh, these black women are too much. I'm like, really? Man, come on, man, man up, brother.
Okay, y'all must have not spoken to Tiger Woods because he had himself a rowdy white woman.
Exactly. White women can be
different.
White women can be very
different. I think there's a difference in this one.
Question.
I don't think she was much rowdy as she just was pissed off.
It
doesn't make a difference what race you are. If you're getting cheated on and you see that kind of thing, I'm not condoning anything that happened with the tennis racket and all of the golf club to the car and all the other stuff. But
please don't
I believe she's just as human as anybody else. And I'm pretty sure if the right situation happened, a black woman would probably have reacted in the same way as a white woman. It was a German or as a
Yes, they would.
Agree.
Yes, they would.
No, black
we get classified as loud, rowdy, this, that, the other. We're actually
negative.
Keep the noise down.
Listen.
Keep the noise down, Tisha. You're too loud.
I'm very calm. I'm always calm.
That's right, hon. That's right. Let him know. Let me tell you something.
Tisha, after the show, we will talk.
It's like Sean said, everybody is human, but don't get it twisted. You can get it turned up.
But Tisha, when you hear things like, you know, you black females are too loud, too obnoxious, that's why we go after white women. Does that irk you a little bit? Like, really?
I don't know. It's a personal choice. That it really does.
You also notice how you coined that, which is where a lot of the anger comes back when the you black women. And I think black women hear that way too often.
Way too often.
In a lot of instances, a lot of black women sometimes don't notice either how they are reacting based on what they've gone through, quote unquote. But at the same time, there are a lot of black men that get very defensive when they are around any African-American female that displays, in their eyes, that kind of temperament towards them. Then they get defensive, and then it puts them in that whole idea of, well, you know, I can't be around.
Exactly.
This is too much
trauma. It's real interesting because we can go into black men, you guys want to be cradled and babied all day. Grow up. Grow
up. Wow.
Take the
pacifier out your mouth. Breastfeeding time is done partially, but yes.
What I'm saying? What would it be partially? I love breastfeeding. Hello. But besides that, before we go, for the record, I am definitely stronger than Tisha. Let's keep that for the record. And also, Sean Black, K-Dog, and Tisha. Yes, even you. I'm sorry. Not Tisha. Lady T. This is the Lady T came out tonight. Okay.
So yeah.
Guys, thank you so much. Keep strong. Keep powerful. And where the white women are at. That's all I'm saying. You know. On that note, thank you for tuning
you
in, guys.
You are so wrong, Hot Rod.
I'm so wrong, but at the same time, I am so right because
goodness.
I am the Hot Rod. Good night, everyone, and take care.
Yes, all right. The pleasure was all yours.
The pleasure was all yours.
Sean, where's the white woman at? I'm waiting for them. Oh.
Well, you're going to be waiting for quite some time.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Woo, craziness.